Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm here today with Mary Beth Bithmars, and we are going to talk about how to supersize your hope. What a great topic. And we're going to talk about four ways to renew your mind after you experience a loss, practical biblical strategies for addiction in the family, an eternal perspective on your grief, three keys for talking to children about adversity, three hacks for supersizing your hope, three life lessons Mary Beth learned from her dying teenager, how to strengthen your gratitude muscles, and how to achieve hope. Our guest today is Mary Beth Bithmars. She is a multi-published author and speaker whose life journey includes multiple child loss and addiction. She loves to encourage others to find hope in Jesus regardless of their circumstances. And you can learn more about her over at marybethdithmars.com and also invite her to speak to your group via womenspeakers.com. So excited to welcome you here, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Marnie. It's so good to be here.
Well, and your story is riveting. You have a book out that talks about it, and you've spoken about it many times. In fact, it just this last year, I think you were on TV about it, right?
I'm sorry?
A movie? Was there a movie or TV interview that you did?
Well, I have a piece on my website. It's a 10-minute video that was produced about our story. But also, we're in the beginning stages of working with a media company for a possible film adaptation. Wow. But it's in its very early stages. So I'm hoping that the Lord opens doors with that I can comfort families who've been through some of the things that we've been through. And, we want to make heaven crowded.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And bring a little bit of that heaven to earth. You know, I always think
hope
in Christ. Right. Mm-hmm. So you have actually four ways that you renew your mind after you experience a loss. Now, of course, you experienced a huge loss of your child, your son, and other things. And some of us, maybe it isn't that huge, but still, these things can help us to navigate loss.
It's true, Marnie. Loss comes in many forms. In my case, I lost a 14-year-old to cancer. Then I lost a 21-year-old in an accident. But people lose their jobs. They lose their marriage. Right. And it's all about hope. And what my four R's stand for is reach in, reach out, routine, and rely upon God. And it's my favorite talk that I love to do because I have scriptures that go with each, because it begins with honesty. Mm-hmm. We can't smother our grief. We can't ignore it. Lamentations 2:11 says, my eyes fail from weeping. Jeremiah 3:15 talks about the grief when Jerusalem was under siege. God expects us to give a voice to our loss. So that's the first R. The second R is reaching out. The Lord expects us to be a body. Galatians 6:2 says we got to bear one another's burden. So I have a lot of suggestions that I give for different ways of reaching out. And I tell some amazing stories about how people reached out to us. One of them was a ministry that builds playgrounds in memory of children who have passed. Wow. And in our hometown of Sarasota, Florida, we actually have a beautiful playground on the beach, on the Gulf of Mexico, that's in memory of our two boys, Chris and Jared.
Wow.
And that's part of the whole, and sometimes we're the ones reaching out, and sometimes people are reaching out to us, but we have to give them that opportunity, Marnie. Then I have a lot of routines that I talk about for mind, body, and spirit. And, we can be strategic about our hope. We can be biblical and we can be strategic with how our minds deal with loss. The secret is to invite the Holy Spirit to be our coach.
Yeah.
And that's where my last R, relying on
I
God,
love that.
Comes in.
I love that.
Quiet time, posting scripture, and I don't have time to go into all of that in this interview,
right.
But it's part of a structured system that I love right. to offer to women.
Yeah, beautiful and beautifully stated too. Just so important. I think in the smaller losses, I think the biggest challenge that I see, well, of course, if you don't run to Jesus, that's the worst thing that you can do. Run to Jesus for sure. But the biggest thing I see among Christians is not taking time to grieve, to go in, to reach in. You actually have to acknowledge the loss at some point and not just try to pretend it didn't happen.
And, you know, and another aspect of my story is that in December, I will celebrate 20 years of sobriety.
Yay, congrats.
So part of my reaching in for me is I had to acknowledge my false idol. And so there might not be people who are grieving, but they might have another hurt or another hang up that they're struggling with that they have to reach in and acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For mm-hmm. sure. So you talk about addiction in the family, and you're familiar with this. So what are some strategies for those who have addiction in their families and they're trying to just walk through life?
Well, the first is to set boundaries, because when you set boundaries, one, it's biblical, and two, you're taking care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're toast to your family. You're useless. John 2:23 talks about how Jesus did not entrust himself to everyone he met out in the marketplace. He knew what was in their hearts. And we can do the same thing. We can love people from afar. We can give them help that moves them towards sobriety. I also have personal experience that with my story. We had a daughter who got involved with drugs, and we gently kicked her out and steered her towards rehab. And we had custody of one of our grandchildren for a while, which was a blessing. So, you know, the first thing is to set those boundaries. It's not wrong. It's hard, but it's not wrong. And there's a lot of help out there. You have to trust the boundaries. You have to stick to them. The Bible says, let your yes be yes. And your no be no. And you have to pray. Oh my gosh. I found out about all the people who were praying for me when I was in my alcoholism. And prayer works.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those are, you know, some of the yeah. strategies that are just yeah. so biblical, so important. And you're not, you know, love doesn't mean enable.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I love it that it isn't just let your yes be yes. There's also
yes.
times you have to say
yes.
no. Let your no be no. Yeah.
Love that verse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. Eternal perspective on grief.
Well, for me, I think of Revelation 21 and I think of the promises, how the Lord will dry all our tears. When our son, Chris, was on his deathbed. Now, this is a 14-year-old. And at the time, I was an itty-bitty Christian. He didn't grow up in the Word. In other words, I wasn't in the Word. But he did something amazing. He surrendered on his deathbed, and he let the Holy Spirit shine through him. And he started talking about heaven. And so what happened is after he passed, I became a student of eternity. Mm. I read every book I could get my hand on about heaven, like that wonderful book, Heaven by Randy Alcorn.
Such a great book.
So many resources out there.
Yeah.
And I started, and in one of the presentations that I do, I have everybody visualize a gymnasium. Because I saw this when I was a kid, and a timeline going all the way across the wall of the gymnasium. And then there's this little dot in the middle of it that represents history.
Mm.
And then there's another small dot that you need a microscope to look at that represents our life. And then if you look at that whole timeline that stretches the whole length of the gymnasium, that's a microscopic dot in eternity. And, you know, I've trained my brain to think not about what I wish I had,
yeah,
about the unborn grandchildren. you know, it's so easy to perseverate. Instead, I picture what my boys are doing in heaven, and practice makes perfect. Oh, and I can envision
that.
I really can. And you can too.
I love that. It's a shifting. Yeah. A shifting of the perspective. Mm-hmm. I always like to say, it's easy to focus on what God isn't doing, but what really works is to focus on what he is doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What are the three keys to talking about adversity with children?
And I have a lot of experiences with this too. And I presented this concept at a grief conference that I spoke at not long ago. With children, first of all, you can be honest without telling them too much. And I have a background in education, and I taught school for many years. A five-year-old is going to ask you different questions than a 10-year-old. Yes. You don't need to give them graphic descriptions. So what the first key is truth, but it has to be truth within the limits of their emotional and intellectual development. Mm-hmm. We had to sit down our Jared, who was 7 years old at the time, and we had to tell them that his brother was dying of cancer. So the most relatable thing to him was 6 months before we had put our dog down. Mm-hmm. And we had had that whole pet conversation about dogs in heaven. And I shared that verse about how the lamb lies with the lion. So at a seven-year-old level, that was appropriate. Now, when we had to tell our granddaughter, she was about 6 or 7 too, that her mother was going to rehab, we told her that her mom was sick. We didn't describe any graphic drug use. We didn't name any drugs. We did say that she was taking some medicine that was making her sick. But what we did do, and our granddaughter was very gifted, and probably at age 6, she was asking questions a 10 or 12-year-old would ask. So we didn't lie, you know. Mm-hmm. We told her the truth with love. And that's the key. And of course, in this process of talking to children about adversity, you let them lead. And if the adversity is separation, for example, you're divorcing, you know, it's not the time to trash the other parent. You know, because kids immediately go to it's my fault, you know, so you let them lead. You don't make up stories. You tell the truth, but you do it at their level of development.
Yeah, so important. And I think we've just totally lost that in our culture today.
Oh what's appropriate? Social media, everybody.
Yeah, right. It's pretty.
Shooting
it's,
arrows on social media.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You love talking about hope and about supersizing it. And you
I
have
do.
Actually three hacks for us.
Three
I can't
hacks.
Wait. To them.
The three hacks are people, places, and things. And I'm borrowing this from my program of recovery, which I live every day. What people are you letting in your life? Now, of course, we have the annoying coworker, and we have the families that we didn't choose, that we were born into, but we have choices. We have community groups we can let in. We have podcast voices we can listen to. And there's, you know, people can email me and ask for some of these resources. I can send them to people who can speak to them. What places are you going to? You know, are you going to a Bible teaching church? Where are you going when you turn on the TV? You know, what are you watching? What are you feeding? What are you reading? You know, and that goes along with things. What are you holding in your hand? You know, are you holding the word? Are you holding dice, going gambling? You know, what are your people, places, and things? And when you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, these people, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to people, places, and things that are going to help you renew your mind, and they're going to help you have hope.
Yeah, I really love that. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I was frustrated because I kept having my hopes dashed, and I was praying through it. And at one point, God just said to me, Marnie, your hope should be in me alone. in Christ alone. Yeah. Just that focus. And I love how you said, you know, when you begin to desire more hope, God will actually lead people, places and things into your life to develop that. He's just so faithful that
way. You know what he does? The Lord gives you he gives you divine appointments.
Yes, he does.
I was asked to speak at a rehab one time and I was sharing my story. And afterward, a gal came up to me and she said, my son was in the hospital in the cancer ward at the same time as your Chris. And she said, I can't believe I got to meet you and hear that you're doing okay. And, you know, and I wanted to end it all. And now I don't, you know, like if that's not a divine appointment. Yeah.
Right.
And see, this supersizes our hope because then we become a God tool.
Yeah, right. And just expectant. And that's really what hope is.
That's what happens.
If there's no excitement or hope for the future, no expectations, then and it's hard to get up, right?
That's right.
Okay. So Chris, as a dying teenager, what were the three lessons he taught you?
The three lessons, and I've done this as a secular talk too, because it's so universal. The three lessons that my dying teenager taught me is the value of humor, the value of relationships, and the value of becoming part of something greater than yourself. And his humor was irrepressible. Anytime nurses or doctors went into his room, they could be expected to be squirted with silly string or an empty syringe filled with water. Of course, if he was feeling up to it, relationships, he would say, Mom, stop fussing in the kitchen. Sit down and watch a movie with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about relationship. And if your family's struggling, you know, and you're running back and forth between dropping kids off and doing this, you know what? You can have a 15-minute picnic with them. Building relationships is so key. And then finally, the last one, becoming a part of something bigger than yourself. Now, obviously, as Christians, it's the body of Christ and it's relying on Jesus. But it also is great therapy for people who want to create and build ministries. Because, you know, and one story that I sometimes tell is when we had the bone marrow drive for Chris. And first one blood mobile turned up, then a line was 2 hours long, then another one, And it set a 20-year record for the Suncoast Community Blood Bank. And it did that because the whole community wanted to be part of something big. And that, Chris taught us that.
Wow. That's so amazing. So cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You talk about gratitude as being a muscle that you can develop. How do you see it?
Well, it is like a muscle because you have to practice. I also used to be a marathon runner. I was a busy gal. I ran marathons all over the world, raising money for cancer research.
Okay.
And we had to strengthen our muscles. We had to do several short runs during the week. We had to do the long run, and we have to do that same thing with gratitude. And a really simple tool is making a gratitude list. And what I do, I like to strengthen my gratitude muscles along with my physical muscles. So I do a Philippians 4:6 power walk. And I was at a conference one time and it was a beautiful hotel on the beach. And I said, who wants to do a Philippians 4:6 power walk with me? So first we did prayer, then we did petition, then we did thanksgiving. And your gratitude muscles are going to grow. And you know, at my age, I have friends with really serious health problems and I am so blessed. So every day I'm grateful for my health. But the more things you find to be grateful for, the more it will attach itself to your heart.
Gratitude is so powerful. I was just talking earlier today with an African pastor who they're out of money and the children haven't had food for 3 days. They're having porridge and tea. And he was just talking about, and we were talking about the strategy, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? And mm-hmm. they're going to praise. That's what they're doing. They're praising. They're not begging anymore. They're not crying out anymore. Now they're just going to praise and trust God. And by the way, if you guys are interested in helping with that, just head over to, I am not exactly sure where to send you right now. Go to marnie.com and at the top of your mission.
Okay, we'll look for your absolutely.
Yeah, I'll give it to them if you put it through me.
But I have been very blessed to have the opportunity to go to a number of third world countries as a short-term missionary. I've used my teaching. I've used my art. I've used my story. And I've seen the poverty. And you know what that reminds me of, that story, Marty? You know who George Mueller is?
Yeah, I do. I love George Mueller.
You know, he would sit down and his orphans would have no food.
Yeah.
And he'd pray, thank you for the food that you're about to deliver. And then knock, knock, there'd be a knock on the door.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's this guy too. He has some support, but he just has so much faith in God, and just it's been amazing to watch his life. But anyway, I know they're in real need right now, so. Just if you have something to share. Yeah. Anyway, okay. How to achieve hope. Hope, hope, hope.
Well, all of these strategies help us achieve hope, but I have an acronym that I like to share for hope. Hope stands for having opportunities to ponder eternity.
Mm, I love that.
And when I use my four R's and when I make strategic purposeful plans in my day, like reading the word, posting a scripture that I really need. Sometimes I'll just post it on my mirror.
Yep.
Calling up someone who, you know, might be farther along. Like when I lost my second son, Jared, it was totally different than when we lost Chris. Jared was like that. He was killed suddenly. And there was a gal at my church who had been through the same exact thing. And she was a woman of dignity and grace. And she was the first person I called. And her walk with the Lord inspired me. You know, so she helped me have opportunities to ponder eternity. And that's what I think of when I think of hope.
I just love it. And acronyms are so helpful. And even your four R's, I mean, it's all so helpful to help us just remember to take action in the moment. You can just get, I call it kind of a spin. Like I like to use the analogy of getting on a merry-go-round. And you know, when you first get going, no big deal, just hop off, you know, but as it gets going faster and faster, it's harder to hop off, right? It's like going fast now, I think I'll get hurt. That's how thoughts can be too. You first have a thought and it's easy to back it out and to think, to speak truth into it at that point. Later when it's going faster, it's a little harder. And sometimes an acronym is really what makes the difference. It lets you break that right early on in the process and shift your thinking toward gratitude or towards something that's good.
And I can practice that acronym when I'm outside a lot because you know, I live in Florida, as I know you do too. And there's just so much flora and fauna here. And so much is in bloom. And I'll just have an opportunity to ponder eternity when I look at all the colors.
Yeah.
And I think, well, there's going to be even more there, you know.
Oh, heaven's going to be amazing. Yeah, heaven is going to be amazing. And if you haven't read Randy Alcorn's book on heaven, do read that. I think I read it like you after my dad died suddenly. Mm-hmm. And I had been given the book for Christmas and then 21 days later he died. And I couldn't read it. It was like I couldn't read it. But I was so afraid he was just going to tell me what he thought about heaven, like just his own personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't really care what Randy Alcorn thinks about heaven. I want to know what heaven's really like, where my daddy is. And then finally in the summer, I was able to pick it up and read it. And I realized, oh, it's all scripture. It's all just
biblically.
It is. And it's passages that I had read my whole life and I had never seen them the way that he brought them out. Mm-hmm. And it was so comforting and exciting all at the same
time.
What's
interesting when our Chris was on his deathbed and he started talking about heaven, he talked about how there'd be more flavors and more colors. And then after I started reading, because I wasn't into any of that before this happened, That's what people who had NDEs all said, uh-huh. near-death experiences, uh-huh. the ones, and none of them ever want to come back.
Right.
But that's the same thing our Chris said. You know, yeah. he was connected with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Well, this has been so fun, and Mary Beth, just so fun to have you back on the show again. If you guys want to check out her website, it's over at marybethdetmars.com. And you can also, there's the word, invite her to speak for your upcoming event via womenspeakers.com. But Mary Beth, if they go over to marybethdetmars.com right now, what are they going to find?
Well, I have a subscribe button on the top, and if they subscribe, they will get a free self-care calendar, and I've built in these strategies, and you can edit it or not, or print it, however you want to do it, but it's a really easy way to track, have I done something today for my mind? Have I done something today for my spirit? Have I done something today for my body? And so that's what they get when they subscribe. Plus they get my uplifting emails and blogs, and
they can find your book over there.
Oh yes. My book is called Dancing in the Minefields: One Woman's Faith Journey Through Child Loss, Addiction, and Adversity. Here, I'll grab it off my shelf here. This is what it looks like. Dancing in the Minefields. And it follows my faith journey. And it has amazing stories of how the Lord transformed people in my family, my marriage, my other son. So that's on the website. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And it's also got a separate page for books. And I also have a contact form to book me to speak. And I love speaking. I've done keynotes, breakouts, workshops. You know, I taught school for many years. I'm kind of a born teacher, but I also love to listen. Mm-hmm. I love to get with women at these conferences and hear their stories too. And I love to pray with them.
Mm. Mary Beth, if you could leave us with one inspirational thought that has been really helpful to you over the years, what might it be?
Laughter and tears are only a moment apart, but joy is eternal.
Beautiful. Love it. Love you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your day. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.